My name's Pete Adams of SW9 Community Housing, and you're listening to episode 3 of the SW9 podcast. It's great to be back for another episode, and we've been getting so much positive feedback from our listeners. When we started this, we thought it might just be an interesting experiment and not really go very far, but I'm now getting the impression that we might run and run, which means I probably need to invest some time in learning how to actually do editing. As you may already be aware, the reason we created the podcast is to let you, our residents, know more about the organisation, what we do and why we do it. However, we're absolutely open to talking to anyone about anything that might be of importance to the SW9 community. On this episode, I'm talking to Dr. Daniel Crome. He's a paediatrician, clinical academic, local resident and SW9 board member, and he's come on to discuss coronavirus, the vaccine, and the importance of getting jabbed. But before we get to that, here's a roundup of the latest SW9 news. The SW9 office is once again open to the public. We're doing everything possible to make sure that your visit is as COVID safe as possible, but when visiting, please do wear a face mask and be aware of social distancing. Parking controls are now back in force on Stockwell Park. Please do take the time to make sure your permit is up to date. More information can be found on the SW9 website. The RISE programme of community engagement is going from strength to strength. We're now offering 2 accredited diploma workshops in acrylic nail extension and gel extension plus gel polish. These one-day courses are being held on the 20th and 27th of May, so if you'd like to take part, please do get in touch using the contact details at the end of the show. If you make contact with SW9, you may receive an automated callback from a company called Bright UK, asking you to carry out a survey. If you have a moment, please do take the time to complete this, as it really helps us improve our service to you. Fly tipping remains an issue on Stockwell Park. We're reminding all residents that this is a criminal offence, and we do actively pursue offenders. If you have bulk rubbish that needs collecting, please contact the office, as we may be able to help, and it's a lot cheaper than a £1,000 fine. As mentioned at the top of the show, today's interview is with Dr. Daniel Crome, and we had a fantastic chat about coronavirus, the importance of being vaccinated, and why some have concerns about the jab. Dan, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the SW9 podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now, Dan, I of course know you as an SW9 board member and also as a local resident, but that of course isn't your day job.
No. It keeps me busy, but no, the day job is working in the NHS as a doctor.
Right, and what do you actually do for the NHS as a doctor?
I'm a paediatric doctor, so most of my time is spent working with children and babies.
Right, so how has the lockdown period been for you? I presume you've not actually been very locked down.
For the paediatric teams in the hospital, you know, things have been different to usual. There was a period where it's fair to say that the paediatric side of things was a little bit quieter than we're used to, because people were staying at home, children weren't going to school, and they weren't spreading the viruses that they normally do. And so for various reasons, we were seeing fewer children coming to A&E than we normally would. But because other services in the hospital were hit so hard by COVID, what we actually ended up doing was essentially shifting some of our paediatric staff members over to the adult side. So even though we were a little bit less busy in terms of numbers of children that we were seeing, we actually had less staff in the paediatric service dealing with things. So it sort of balanced out a little bit. And then from a neonatal side, which is one of the other specialties that I work in, that was relatively unaffected by COVID in the sense that it certainly wasn't less busy. Babies kept on being born. You know, this is a knock-on effect from stuff that happened 9 months before anyone even heard of COVID. And all throughout the lockdown, you know, babies continue to be delivered and continue to do the things that they normally do that gets them in hospital. There was the added complication of having to manage you know, potential COVID in mums on the ward. But certainly from a neonatal point of view, we continued to be as busy as we normally were.
So obviously that's all been very challenging, even if you do very modestly say it's been kind of okay. But I suppose the question on everyone's lips is the lockdowns. Are we about to see a baby boom or something else?
I think if we were going to see a significant baby boom, we probably would have seen it already, because we're well over 9 months since the first lockdown started. I haven't seen any official data. I know anecdotally, I have friends who are obstetricians, who are the doctors that, you know, specialise in managing pregnant women and delivering babies. And certainly some of them said that labour ward felt busier than usual in that sort of 9, 10, 11 month period after lockdown started. But I think we're going to have to wait and see until we get some official data released in terms of numbers of children being born.
So, Dan, the reason we've dragged you in today to talk to the SW9 podcast is to talk about COVID, obviously, and also vaccination. So we're being told at the moment that, especially in Lambeth, there's a new variant. Can you tell us what a variant is?
So in terms of what a variant is, viruses and other organisms are mutating and evolving all the time. And this happens as a random process, essentially. And occasionally, this mutation that happens will lead to a new strain of a particular virus or a particular organism being created. The vast majority of mutations do not cause, you know, any discernible difference in how that that virus or organism behaves. But occasionally, when we're sequencing the genome of the virus, we will detect a difference in the organization of that virus's genetic code. And that's essentially what a variant is. It's a virus with a different genetic code to one that we've seen previously.
So the variant in Lambeth, is that something which people should be worried about?
I don't think so, is the answer to that question. Obviously, we are watching the data closely, and the government and local organisations are collecting data about new variants that are arising. But I don't think at this point there's any reason to think we need to do anything differently, to think that the vaccine isn't going to be effective against this this new variant. And I think it's going to be a case of watch and wait more than anything.
So you've just mentioned the vaccine. Now, pretty much everyone across the country is currently waiting to either get called for their vaccine, or they're choosing to opt out. Why is it important to get vaccinated?
There's several reasons. So the first big plus of being vaccinated is that it protects you against COVID. We know that being vaccinated is a good way of either reducing the risk of you catching or transmitting COVID. But even in the cases where you still catch COVID, if you've been vaccinated, it massively reduces the risk of severe illness and hospitalisation. You know, that in turn has effects on the NHS and the health service. And as people know, one of the things that we've always tried to avoid is overwhelming the health service. The thing that overwhelms the health service is people needing hospitalisation for long periods of time, and becoming very unwell with COVID. And so not only does the vaccine reduce your risk of catching COVID in the first place, but it reduces your risk of transmitting onto other people. And it also, if you do catch COVID, it reduces your risk of needing to be hospitalised or developing severe illness. It also protects people around you. There are, for various reasons, people who haven't been able to have the vaccine yet. Either they're not in a high risk group and they haven't been offered it, or for rare clinical circumstances, they're not able to have the vaccine. In those situations, if there are enough other people like you or I who get vaccinated, it helps reach the threshold for what we call herd immunity, which works to reduce the risk of even unvaccinated people in a population catching the disease.
So what actually is a vaccine then?
So I guess the straightforward definition of a vaccine is something that we give to people to stimulate their immune system so that they develop immunity to a specific disease. And the ultimate aim of that is to protect the person from that disease.
At the moment, there are some people who are quite worried about getting the vaccine. Is the vaccine safe?
So I think the answer to that question depends on how you define safe. The short answer is yes. We have data from literally millions of people that tell us this is the case. The slightly longer answer is, of course, nothing is 100% safe. But as with anything in life, we have to decide whether the benefits of doing that thing outweigh the risk. In the case of the COVID vaccine, the evidence is overwhelmingly in favor of receiving the vaccine. The things that people tend to worry about when it comes to the vaccine, including particular rare side effects, are much less likely to happen in people who've had the vaccine than those who catch COVID. If you're trying to weigh up the pros and cons of getting the vaccine because you're worried about particular side effects, well, you're much more at risk of getting those side effects if you don't get vaccinated and you get COVID. And I think that's something that people need to try and be aware of and weigh up in their minds.
But how can people be sure?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a hot topic of debate. And my approach would be that people have to trust the science and trust the experts on this. The data that is being used to guide these decisions is freely available for people to see. And we also have what is unprecedented in terms of the amount of data on the safety and the efficacy of the COVID vaccine. And that's the case for several reasons. So the usual barriers that are in place when it comes to vaccine development and other reasons that it takes a long time to develop a vaccine were simply not there for COVID. So things like funding, it's expensive to fund vaccine development, but this was essentially a global problem, and we had entire countries pouring huge sums of money into vaccine development. And so it removed that barrier in terms of funding. We had laboratory facilities and laboratory staff, turning their labs upside down to try and work on the COVID vaccine. And so again, you have a something where you normally might only have one or two labs working on something. Suddenly we had every single lab in the country was working on this, on solving this problem. And so it removed another one of those barriers to developing a vaccine quickly. The usual safety steps and measures that are required in order to develop a vaccine were still taking place. It's just that we were able to do things a lot quicker. The other thing that I think probably people don't often understand when it comes to developing vaccines is that usually you need large numbers of people with the disease that you're trying to develop the vaccine for to actually contract the disease. So if, for example, you were trying to develop a disease, a vaccine, sorry, against mumps, you would need lots of people to get mumps in order to test whether the vaccine is safe in that population. And that doesn't normally happen. You normally have to wait a long time to get enough people with the disease. In the case of COVID, we had literally hundreds of thousands of people, in a very short space of time who had the disease, and we could test the safety of this vaccine on. And as a result, we were able to develop the vaccine a lot quicker. There are now several vaccines available, and some of them work in different ways, but a lot of the vaccines that have been produced for COVID rely on existing technologies. So it's not that, this is a new type of vaccine or a new technology that's been developed for the COVID vaccine. It's existing technology that's been sort of adapted slightly. And we already have huge amount of safety data for the existing technology and years and years and years of research going back that we know makes these safe. And so I think when you take all of that into consideration, hopefully it settles some of the unease around, why people are worried about the vaccine, some of the worries that people have about the vaccine being developed so quickly, and some of the safety concerns that people have.
So have you yourself been vaccinated?
I have. I actually agreed to take part in the vaccine trial last summer. I feel like I practice what I preach in a sense, and I can't sit here and say people should trust the experts and trust the scientists if I don't do the same myself. And I was one of the first people to sign up for the Oxford AstraZeneca trial last summer. So I received, at the time, I didn't know whether it was a COVID vaccine or the placebo, which in this trial was a meningitis vaccine. But I volunteered to receive that in June last year. I found out relatively recently that it was actually the meningitis vaccine that I'd received. And so I've since arranged to have the COVID vaccine. I've had my first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and I'm awaiting my second dose now.
Right, and it's the AstraZeneca vaccine that people are sort of concerned about, particularly on the continent, isn't it?
It is. And I almost don't want to give too much airtime to it, because I think it's a bit of a non-issue. And the reason that people are worried about the AstraZeneca vaccine is because of this perceived increased risk of blood clots. And I think it's fair to say that the numbers in the UK have been slightly different to the numbers that some of our other European countries have seen. But probably the best summary of the situation that I can give is that your risk of developing one of these blood clots is no greater whether you've had the vaccine or not. The fact is, we've vaccinated so many people now that a small proportion of those people were always going to develop a clot of this nature. But because we vaccinated so many people, we are seeing very, very small numbers in the population who've been vaccinated that develop this side effect. And I think, again, it's worth adding that the risk of developing blood clots is far greater if you catch COVID than if you get the vaccine. And of course, if you have the vaccine, you're far less likely to catch COVID. So you're far, far more at risks of developing a blood clot if you don't get the vaccine.
So for most people, what are the side effects, or are there any?
There are. As with anything, any vaccine, any treatment, any intervention, there are always going to be side effects. In terms of the COVID vaccine, the most common side effect will be a sore arm at the site of the injection. Lots of people will experience a headache in the day or two after the injection. Some people will experience feelings of kind of muscle aches and pains. And these are all things that are considered side effects. But really, you know, we would say, well, that's your body's immune system responding to the vaccine. And so these things are a little bit unpleasant, but it's a sign that the vaccine is doing what it's meant to do. And as we've just touched on, you know, there are some other side effects that have been reported, but the benefits of getting the vaccine far outweigh the risk from any side effects of receiving it.
And, well, talking of benefits, what will it mean when we've got everybody vaccinated?
I think the fundamental thing is that you've protected yourself and those around you from COVID, and certainly from the risk of severe disease and requiring hospitalisation. And the end goal is really that life starts to get back to normal again. You know, it's going to take time for that to happen, and there will be bumps in the road, as I'm sure everyone is aware. But if you asked pretty much any scientist, doctor, healthcare worker a year ago whether they thought we'd be in a position now where we'd have an effective, safe vaccine ready to go, you know, that millions of people would already have received it, they probably would have laughed at you. But they also would have jumped at the chance to have it if they were offered it. And we're now in a situation where that's a reality. You know, this vaccine exists. And I think people should definitely take the vaccine if they're offered it. And remember that the end goal of all of this is to try and return to some kind of normality at the end.
And is there anything else important that you think our residents should know?
You know, I certainly, and other healthcare professionals, understand that there are concerns about the vaccine. That is normal. You know, with any new treatment for something, there are going to be questions asked. There are going to be people who are worried about it. And that's completely normal. And I would hope that no one ever has their concerns kind of dismissed, or, you know, that attention is not given appropriately to those concerns. But we know now, based on all of the data that we have, that the vaccine is safe. It's a good thing. It reduces your risk of catching COVID. It reduces your risk of transmitting COVID. It reduces your risk of getting seriously unwell from COVID. And I think anyone who is offered the vaccine should take it.
Dr. Daniel Crome, thank you very much for joining us on the SW9 podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
I hope you can join us again soon.
I'll look forward to it.
Thank you to Dan for joining us on the podcast, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it or would like to hear more about something specific that SW9 do, then please do get in touch. We may even be able to get you on the show. You can contact us by telephone on 0207 326 3700, on email using info@sw9.org.uk, or using our website contact us page. That's at www.sw9.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube and LinkedIn. Just search for SW9 Community Housing. We're still working to get the show on all the main podcast providers, but if you have the ability to leave a review or a rating, please do. That way we know what's working for you. Until next time, thanks very much for joining us on the SW9 podcast. See you again. Bye-bye.